Welcome to Native America Calling. From Studio 49 in Albuquerque, I'm Tara Gatewood. This year's cold and flu season is in full swing. Have you ever wondered what it takes to prevent catching a cold or the flu? What about if you feel like you're getting sick? Do you have a surefire remedy for stopping a cold dead in its tracks? Also, do you know when it's best to just stay home from work? What about when it's time to seek medical care? If coughs and sneezes are decking the halls of your house, you're going to want to stay tuned. We're back after National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Canada's largest Aboriginal organization, the Assembly of First Nations, will elect a new national chief today. There are three candidates in the running for the top job. Dan Karpinchuk reports.
Three candidates are vying for the top post. Ghislaine Picard from Quebec and the Assembly's interim leader, Perry Bellegarde, the chief of the Federation of Saskatchewan Indian Nations, and Léon Jourdain, chief of Ontario's Lac La Croix First Nation. More than 500 chiefs and elders are in Winnipeg for the three-day annual meeting that will result in the election. But one chief from Manitoba said he wasn't even certain he would attend. Derek Nepinak is the Grand Chief of the Assembly of Manitoba Chiefs. Nepinak says the AFN has a tough job ahead, showing that it's still relevant to Canada's Native people.
I think if the AFN wants to be relevant on a going forward basis, it's going to have to engage at the community level, and that's something it hasn't done in a very, very long time.
The new national chief will have an extra 6 months added to his three-year term while the organization restructures over those very questions of relevance. A candidate will need at least 60% of the vote to win on the first ballot. Cross Lake First Nation Chief Kathy Merrick says she's still not sure who she will vote for.
They talk about treaty and Aboriginal rights, and we need to have a leader that are going to speak and to be able to come forth and protect those rights.
Many chiefs have argued that the AFN should become less reliant on funding from the Canadian government, while others say it no longer reflects the concerns of its people. The top job came open when Sean Atleo stepped down over criticisms that he had become too cozy with the Canadian government and his support for a controversial federal act to reform First Nations education. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
The 2014 election is over, but voting advocates and others are gearing up for 2016 and beyond. Some efforts are targeting school-age kids to get them interested in civic engagement. An effort to increase voter turnout in tribal communities in South Dakota is continuing. Charles Michael Ray has more.
New research shows that changing demographics in the United States could bring big changes to election outcomes in coming years. In South Dakota, Native American communities are growing in population, while many other rural areas shrink. Increasing Native voters over the long term is one goal of the National Congress of American Indians. Peter Morris is a senior advisor at NCAI. The group is funding efforts to educate school-age kids on the importance of voting.
We think about those almost 500,000 Native young people who turn 18 every 4 years. That population is only going to increase in the years to come.
In South Dakota, an array of new young Native leaders are emerging to rally their peers towards civic engagement. One of them is Sikangu Lakota rap artist Frank Wan.
As Native peoples, you know, we're starting to organize. We're starting to let our voice be heard. You know, a lot of times people say Native Americans have no voice. I believe that's a lie. I believe we have a voice. We just need to better learn how to organize, and then people need to listen.
Wan is one of the young Native American artists featured in an MTV documentary on music and activism in Indian country. He backs efforts to educate school-age kids on the importance of getting involved in civic life.
It's easier to start kids on the right path and help them realize at a young age that they do have a voice and their voice does matter, rather than try to sway adults, you know, who live their whole life not realizing that they've had a voice. So it's very important to plant those seeds at a young age, so when those children grow up to be adults, our communities will be stronger.
In South Dakota, November's election saw a decline in voter turnout compared to the midterms in 2010. Statewide, there were about 40,000 fewer voters in 2014 than 2010. But four counties in South Dakota bucked that trend and saw increased turnout. All of those counties were on the state's reservations. Voting rights advocates say the numbers show their efforts are paying off, but they add there's still more to be done. For National Native News, I'm Charles Michael Ray in Rapid City, South Dakota.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
Support for this program is provided by the Native American Rights Fund, reminding you that sovereignty is not free. Native American Rights Fund has been helping Indian tribes for over 40 years with critical issues such as treaty enforcement, hunting and fishing rights, Indian child welfare, religious freedom, and more. You too can become a modern-day warrior with your support for NARF's work. Learn more at narf.org and join the fight for Native rights.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood. Has this ever happened to you? You're going about your day and you start to feel not quite right. Something just feels off. And then before you know it, you have a tickle in the back of your throat, or maybe you notice yourself sneezing just a little bit more than usual. And then you say to yourself, I'm not getting sick. Well, I'm guessing we've all been through it. I know I have. And we want to hear about it today. Just what do you do when you start to feel sick? Do you turn to your own remedy book? Have you tried and gotten to cold prevention planning? Or do you give up and just go to bed and let everyone know you'll see them in a few days? Give us a call and let us know your cold and flu remedies and tips. And the number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. That's how you can join our conversation today. And we've got some doctors with us that can answer all your questions when it comes to the cold and flu season. Let's go ahead and get started. Joining us now from Santa Fe, New Mexico is Dr. Brett Smoker, and he is the clinical director for the Santa Fe Service Unit for the Indian Health Service. Welcome back to Native America Calling, Dr. Smoker.
Good morning, Tara. It's really nice to be back with you.
Yeah, especially during this season, you have some information I'm sure a lot of people want to hear about. And Dr. Smoker, let's go ahead and start with some of the basics. What is the difference between the cold and the flu? You know, how do you know which one you are getting?
That's a really good question, Tara, and I'm afraid I may not be able to give you a completely acceptable answer, but we all, and because oftentimes the cold and flu, when we talk about the cold and flu, people use them interchangeably. But I think there's some basics that we can talk about to help differentiate between the two. The common cold is caused by many different viruses, so there's not one virus out there or one germ that causes the cold. The typical symptoms of the common cold include things like coughing, sneezing, runny nose, sore throats, and body aches, mild fever. Most of us have experienced that even in the recent past. Symptoms can last up to a couple of weeks, but they're almost never life-threatening. That's the most important thing about the common cold. Now, the flu may cause some of the similar symptoms of the common cold, but it's caused by various strains of one virus, which is the influenza virus. It can cause many of the symptoms of the cold, as I told you before, but the flu can be much more serious, can cause lots of serious health complications that can result in hospitalization and maybe even in death in some circumstances. I think the best thing to do is, if a person has symptoms that are concerning, try to seek medical attention really early, or attention from a healthcare provider really early, to try to sort these things out.
And what about, you know, through the ages? Does a cold or the flu look the same for somebody who is, you know, a toddler, an adult, and even an elder?
Well, the symptoms are similar no matter what the age, but it's very true that especially with influenza, the very young, and when I say the very young, I mean before the age of 5, but especially before the age of 2, the very young and those individuals over the age of 60, 65 are particularly prone to complications. So I think especially if one is over the age of 60, 65, or if you're in the care of somebody who is a young child, those folks especially need to be evaluated early in the course of illness if there's any concern whatsoever.
All right. Our phone lines are open today. If there are any questions you have about catching the cold, or if you think you have the flu, we have a doctor on the line with us today. You can ask all your questions, maybe remedies that you've heard about, but you're unsure. Call in and ask about those. Call us right now, 1-800-996-2848. And if you have a surefire remedy that seems to always work, we want to hear about those too. Call in, share your recipe, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And you can also reach out to us on social media. We're at 1-800-99-NATIVE on Twitter. And you can also find us on Facebook. Let's take a look at what we got at Facebook. Randy wrote to us that as soon as he feels sick, he buys a bag of oranges. He wrote, "I eat the whole orange with the skin, as many as I can. I also drink lots of apple juice and high pH water." Again, what about you? What do you do when you start to feel sick? Call us right now, share your thoughts and your remedies at 1-800-996-2848. Dr. Smoker, what do you think about Randy's key to keeping healthy?
Well, it sounds to me like Randy has some really good health habits. Eating fresh fruits and vegetables and drinking lots of fluid is a really good idea throughout the year for our health. There are no good studies that show that that specific fruits or vitamins can treat a cold or a flu, but certainly the body, our body's immune system is a really remarkable thing, and it needs energy and it needs nutrients, fluid to work properly. So it's always a good idea to stay really well hydrated during throughout the year, but especially during the cold and flu season. And it's also a really good idea to eat a well balanced diet, just like our grandma would have told us, right?
Oh, yeah. And Dr. Smoker, he also adds he eats the peel, too. What do you think about that?
I don't know. I don't think it's a bad idea. When you talk about, I'm going to digress, when you talk about orange peel, my mother used to make this really delicious candy out of the orange peel. So I think it's a great idea because it tastes good. I don't know that it actually is going to treat the cold any more effectively, but it's certainly not going to hurt, Randy.
All right, thanks for that. Again, 1-800-996-2848 is the number to join us in our conversation and a place to get more information. Do you dread this time of year? Are there certain things you do to change your patterns, maybe not interacting with people, or, are you walking out there with a mask? Do you think that really works? Call us right now, 1-800-996-2848. Let's go ahead and bring in our first caller. We have Karen in North Dakota tuned in on KMHA. Karen, I hear you have a question.
Hi, yes. I was wondering what were the best remedies for pregnancy and sick?
Okay, Karen, great question. Dr. Smoker, any advice for Karen?
May I please clarify with Karen, are you asking for the best remedy for colds and flus in pregnant women? Well, I want to reiterate something that we spoke about earlier, and that is especially before any pregnant woman takes any medications, over the counter or prescription or herbal remedies or anything like that, it's very important to consult with your obstetrical provider first before you take anything. But some important things specific to pregnant women is that pregnant women can and should get the flu vaccination every year. Influenza vaccination is our best defense against the disease, and that includes pregnant women. So they should get vaccinated during pregnancy. And if they develop symptoms of a cold or flu, some over-the-counter medications are safe. Most obstetrical providers will tell you, for instance, that acetaminophen is generally a safe treatment for pain and fever. You should never take ibuprofen, for instance, during pregnancy. It's very important for women to remain well hydrated, as with all individuals during this time of year. But the most important thing I think I'd reiterate is make sure that you talk to your provider early in the season and get a flu vaccination. It's not too late to get a flu vaccination. But consult with your physician really early if you have specific questions about treatment during pregnancy.
All right, Karen, any more questions?
Thank you. Nope, that is good.
Thanks. Okay, thanks a lot. Again, Call in 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Dr. Smoker, I had a question about women who are pregnant. A lot of times some of the remedies call for things that have, you know, high salt content, even gargling with salt water, or either reaching for that chicken soup with a lot of salt. Any thoughts on that about, you know, being pregnant and taking in more sodium like that?
Well, I think in general, a high sodium diet is not a good thing. There are some people that live in certain parts of the country, or they have, you know, certain dietary habits that bring a lot of salt into their diet. But I think in general, it's not a good idea to eat a lot of extra salt. I think that a lot of home remedies work not so much because of the content of the remedy, but more because it's being given by somebody else that is caring for them. And what I mean by that is that when we're ill, it's really important to have people around us who can support us and give us not only look out for us and make sure that we're eating well and drinking lots of fluids, but also just kind of looking out for us to have an objective view of whether we're getting more ill. Pregnant women especially need a lot of support during their pregnancy, as you know.
All right. Thank you very much. And again, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And you can ask your questions to Dr. Smoker. And of course, we want to hear those remedies too. Call in with those or send them to us. You can tweet us at 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's go ahead and bring in another caller. We have Mike driving in North Dakota. And Mike, what's your advice?
Yes. Well, hi. Well, I really appreciate the show. I make sure that I always use the sanitation wipes. When I go in grocery shopping, I wipe the carts down, and I try to avoid people that are coughing. And when I feel a cold coming on, I start taking 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C a day for a few days, and I drink a little bit extra water. I lived in Arizona a long time, so I drink about a gallon a day. I really try to increase my intake of fluids. And I find that my attitude has a lot to do with the duration of the cold. I don't know if there's any science for that, doctor, but, you know, it's kind of like the old stinking thinking premise. But I find that, you know, if I feel myself getting down or not feeling right, I have to look at how I'm looking at things, and it really makes a big difference in my world.
All right. Thanks, Mike. They're in North Dakota. Safe driving there. And Dr. Smoker, any thoughts for Mike, especially, you know, his question talking about, you know, what if you just have a good attitude? You get over it faster.
Well, I think Mike sounds really smart, and I think Mike brought up a really good point about the sanitation and avoiding others who are ill. If you are ill, it's not only important to stay home if you can so that you don't spread it to others, but it's also important to avoid contact with other individuals who are ill. In influenza and common cold, they're highly contagious, and it's very easy to pick them up. The issue about attitude, I will tell you, Mike asked the question, is there any scientific proof of that? I can't really point to any kind of well-controlled studies that would say that a good attitude leads to a person getting better, but I can just tell you anecdotally in my own life and among my patients, I think there's nothing more important than a good attitude about life in general. And whether or not there's something intrinsic to the good attitude or whether people with a good attitude end up taking better care of themselves, I don't know which one it is, but I think a good attitude is a really good idea for one's health.
And Dr. Smoker, let's also throw stress into the mix. You know, how does that affect, you know, your immunity system in one, catching the cold or the flu, and then also on the healing side?
Right. Well, I guess, Tara, I would say the same thing that I was kind of along the same lines. First of all, it's really hard to quantify what stress is. We all have stress in our life, and there's good stress and there's bad stress, and whether or not it's good or bad is largely a subjective judgment. Like, it's really good, for instance, this is finals week for a lot of young men and women around the country. They're certainly under a lot of stress as they study for their final exams, but that's good stress because it's the thing that motivates them to study and get the work done. But there can also be bad stress, and I don't need to make a list of all the things that can cause bad stress. So it's first of all hard to quantify that, but second of all, we don't really know specifically what the effects are on the immune system. We do know that people that are under a lot of stress may not be eating well, may not be sleeping well. They may not be just taking care of themselves in a good way. So I think this is one of the things that goes back to what I was saying earlier. It's really important for us to reach out not only to healthcare providers, but reach out to friends and family members who care about us and love us, because they're going to help us remember to do the things that are going to help us get better. But they're also going to be on the lookout for us if we're starting to take a turn for the worse.
All right. Thanks for that, Dr. Smoker. And we're talking about the cold and flu today. Do you have any tips for getting over a nasty cold? Call us and share. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And Dr. Smoker, earlier we heard about getting the flu vaccination. And this year there have been headlines talking about maybe the flu shot this year might not be as effective than other years. Tell me a little bit more about that. Have you been reading these headlines where people are worried that this year's flu shot isn't going to be as effective?
Sure. I think that's a really good question. I think it's not only important to acknowledge that for this year, but it's also important maybe just really briefly to talk about why that is. In recent weeks, there have been some reports that have come out from the CDC. That's the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. There have been some reports that have come out saying that there may not be a really great match between the influenza vaccines that are available right now and the specific strain that is circulating. The predominant strain circulating is one, it's a specific strain of H3N2. And we just know that from previous years that when the H3N2 virus is predominating, the influenza season can be a little bit more severe than other years. And what happens with influenza virus, influenza vaccine preparation every year, experts in the field are playing kind of a guessing game every year. It's an educated guess, but they're trying to predict every year what strains are most likely to be circulating during the year, and then they produce a vaccine that matches those strains. They're usually right. I think the remarkable thing isn't so much that we have years like this where sometimes there isn't a good match. The remarkable thing is that they do a pretty good job year to year predicting what strains are going to be circulating and producing highly effective vaccines. But even though the vaccine may not be as effective against the predominant strain, it's still very effective against many of the other strains that are circulating and may be partially effective even against the predominant strain. So it's really important still to get the flu vaccine. It's still our most important defense against the illness.
And Dr. Smoker, I'm always interested in the science behind this. You know, how do scientists or doctors, how do they know, you know, which strands might be circulating? You know, is there a final number of influenza strands that it's, you know, one of 10, or, you know, how does some of that work?
Well, first of all, I'm going to answer your question, but I'm going to preface this by saying I'm a family physician, and I'm certainly not an expert in this field, but let me tell you what my best understanding of this is. Influenza viruses, the epidemiology behind this is, the pattern tends to be, interestingly, that the most strains originate in Asia, Southeast Asia. The viruses themselves are not only found in humans; they exist in waterfowl and other birds, and so they're constantly shifting back and forth between humans and other species. And what ends up happening is that there's a really large percentage of the world's flu strains are actually in Asia, and then they take a typical pattern where they spread from Asia through Europe and then across to North America, and then they go down through Latin America and South America, and then they sort of fizzle out. And so what these scientists do is they look at the strains that are predominating in the places that are typically early in the process, try to predict what the strains are going to be as they move out from Asia and through Africa. Asia and and into Europe and through North America, and they type those, and then they make the vaccine to match those strains. It takes about 20 to 25 weeks to make any given vaccine batch. So the thing that they're racing against is if they may have a really good idea in February or March of any given year what strains are going to be circulating and make the vaccines based upon that. But if in March or April they find out that there's another strain circulating, the cat's out of the bag at that point, and they have to do the best with the vaccine they have. And it's the following year. Like next year, for instance, the predominant strain, the H3N2 strain that's predominating right now, is likely to be it will be in the next vaccine to cover it. So
it's really interesting. And Dr. Smoker, when we do talk about this, you know, and somebody who just heard, you know, what the reports that are coming out that it might not be as effective, what do you have to say to somebody who says, well, then maybe I just shouldn't get it?
Well, you know, I hear that a lot, and this is my answer. I try to think of another common analogy in life to answer that. And you know, the best one I can think of, Tara, is seatbelts and airbags, for instance. Years ago, I drove a car when I was in high school. At least I drove a car that didn't even have seatbelts, so I didn't have seatbelts and I didn't have airbags. I never got into a crash, and I got through that period of time. I never got injured. But the fact that I didn't get injured without using a seatbelt doesn't mean that I wasn't at higher risk. It just means I didn't get into a crash. Similarly, right now we've heard some stuff in the news about some faulty airbags that may deploy when they're not supposed to and cause injury to people in the car. I bet you there are very few people in the country that heard those reports and said, "Oh, well, for crying out loud, I'm going to quit wearing my seatbelt." They say, no, what I'm going to do is I'm going to keep wearing my seatbelt, and I'm going to take my car in and get that airbag fixed. Well, similarly, it's the same kind of thing with vaccines. We do our very best to try to predict what's going to happen. We get our flu vaccine, and so next year we're going to fix that problem and make sure that the vaccine is a better match for the circulating strains. I still think it's really important to get the flu vaccine because the flu vaccine is not only effective against other strains, but it's also very, very, very safe. Flu vaccines are very safe.
All right. Thank you very much, Dr. Smoker. You're going to continue to be with us here. And we have entered the cold and flu season. And what is it looking like even in your own household? How many colds and flus have walked in your door and what have you done about them? Our phone lines are open. Share your thoughts with us today. You can call in by dialing 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. We just heard from our guest, Dr. Smoker, about flu vaccinations. What about you? Do you make sure every year when it starts getting chilly, you make sure you go and get your flu shot? Call us right now. Tell us what you think. 1-800-996-2848. It is also National Influenza Vaccination Week. And we have a doctor here with us who can answer your questions. The number again is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And we're going to continue to keep these phone lines open as we give you a preview of what is coming up tomorrow out of our electronic talking circle. But again, call us. We want to hear from you. We want to help you with your questions. And we'll be right back after this short break. Recently, fundraising practices of a Catholic-run boarding school have been criticized for sensationalizing the poverty of natives. They are accused of inflating stories while asking for aid for their school. Some call this practice poverty porn. Join us for a discussion about cashing in on poverty and what happens when helping Native America turns into exploitation. On the next Native America Calling.
Kuwonek Broadcast Corporation announces the Alaska Native Art Auction taking place on February 26, 2015 in Anchorage, Alaska. This one-of-a-kind event includes unique artwork from the Alaska Native community. Over 400 business leaders and executives attend this annual event. If you would like to contribute art, reserve a table, or sponsorship, learn more at knba.org. Proceeds benefit National Native News Programming.
Welcome back to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood from Mesleta Pueblo. And thanks for joining us today. We're on every weekday on many great stations across the U.S. And you can also catch us on Native Voice One. That's nv1.org. And we also podcast our show every day. Just go to your device's podcast app and search for Native America Calling. And if you'd like to reach out to us with an email, our address is comments@nativeamericacalling.com. And today we are talking about the cold and the flu, and there are lots of viruses and infections going around at any given time. But when we talk about the cold and the flu, you know, what worries you? Or, you know, is there a game plan that you have each time you think one of them is coming on? Give us a call, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And I'd like to go ahead and welcome our guests back on the line from Santa Fe, New Mexico today. We have Dr. Brett Smoker from the Indian Health Service, and he's also here with us to help answer any questions you might have about the cold or the flu. I want to go ahead and welcome him back. Hello, Dr. Smoker.
Hello.
And Dr. Smoker, I was wondering, one of our earlier callers made me think about it. They painted a pretty good visual of, you know, somebody coughs. And what about that moment? I know a lot of people, you know, get nervous if somebody is around them and they're coughing or they're sneezing. You know, what happens? Are you going to catch the cold if you're around their sneeze? Or, you know, what should we be thinking? Have we been infected?
Well, we first of all don't know why that other person is coughing or sneezing. The person might be coughing or sneezing because of allergies, for instance, and in that case, we're not going to pick up any infection. Another thing to keep in mind is that if we have received a flu vaccination, if we've received it more than 2 or 3 weeks before, even if we are infected with an influenza virus, our body should have some ability to fight that off. And then finally, most of us have been exposed to or infected with the common cold viruses that circulate in our region. So we already have a lot of immunity to many of the common viruses in the area. That said, it's really important that we practice good, what I would call good social hygiene, I guess. When we're going to sneeze or cough into our sleeve and not into the open air and not into our open hand, because we may go on and touch things and shake hands with other folks after that. There's no way to know if we've been infected in a situation like that. Cold viruses, flu viruses are highly contagious. There's no reason to panic in a situation like that. It's just important to remember to wash your hands, remember to be on the lookout for signs and symptoms of a cold or flu if you've been in a situation like that.
And Dr. Smoker, I've read a lot about, you know, common cold and sometimes the flu, that the first 48 hours can be important, you know, when you start feeling symptoms or maybe if you've been around people who you know have a cold. Any thoughts on that, of the 48-hour thought?
Well, that's especially true. I'm glad you're bringing that up, Tara, because that's especially true if one suspects influenza. And the reason for that is that if you think you have influenza, during the first 48 hours, that's when a person is most likely to benefit from antiviral medications. Seek medical attention earlier in a situation like that, especially people in those high-risk groups we were talking about, people below the age of 2, over 65, people that are pregnant, people that have chronic health conditions. It's really important to seek medical attention because antiviral medications can't replace vaccines as a really important protection against influenza, but they're a very important second line of defense against serious complications from influenza. So you're right. Don't wait around till you get worse and worse and worse. If you think you have the flu, get in to see your healthcare provider as soon as possible.
All right. Again, phone lines are open, 1-800-996-2848, What do you want to know about preventing the cold or the flu? Call us right now, 1-800-996-2848. And Dr. Smoker, a lot of times people go into their physician and they feel awful. They have lots of symptoms. You know, their nose is running like a faucet. They feel achy or they feel sick. They're coughing around. I can go on. But, you know, you go to your doctor and they say, well, you just have the cold. But you think, you know, I got to have something else if I'm feeling this bad. Any thoughts on that as to, you know, why we don't get antibiotics when even though we're feeling bad?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think, I don't know how many times I've kind of overheard people say, you know, I went to the doctor, I told him about all these problems, he looked at me, listened to me, and he didn't even give me antibiotics, he didn't do anything for me. Sometimes it's important to remember, and I shouldn't say sometimes, it's really important to remember that I think the most valuable part of that interaction with your healthcare provider is the advice you get. But specific to your question about antibiotics, colds are caused by viruses. Flus are caused by the virus. Antibiotics are used to treat bacterial infections. Antibiotics have no place in the treatment of infections like that. The overuse of antibiotics is largely responsible for the emergence of antibiotic resistance. And at the very least, antibiotics are simply ineffective. They're not going to help you feel better. A lot of people say, well, every time I feel like this, I take antibiotics and I get better. Well, that's true. You took the antibiotics and you got better, but the antibiotics had nothing to do with getting better. It was your body that fought off the infection.
All right. Thanks, Dr. Smoker. Let's go ahead and bring in a caller. Again, we want you to join the conversation. We got a couple of experts that are going to be on the line here in just a moment to answer your questions. And the number to dial in, 1-800-996-2848. Let's go ahead and bring in Lucy in Reserve, tuned in on the line. Hello, Lucy. Welcome to Native America Calling.
Yes, good morning. How are you? Well, I just want to jump in right away on the last sentence on antibiotics. And I'm just going to bring in the Australian mastermind, Aboriginal Australian medicine, natural medicine. It's called tea tree oil. And that said, I'm just going to say that's a natural antibiotic. I'm going to really go into we are what we eat. We are what we say, we are what we think, what we do. So if you think that we're eating stuff, well, I'm not, but most people are eating things that have antibiotics. People are eating things from dollar store diet, which I see a lot in this area. People are not really taking care of what they eat. Then you have a problem. You have a population that's being deleted by the system. That's how I really feel about it. And you have people that are going to be dependent on these flu shots that really don't work because they're just part of the, you know, of the the project to delete populations, especially in this country. So the indigenous population is being deleted by this kind of medicine.
And Lucy, your skepticism, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of people who agree directly with you. And you bring up a lot of good things. I want to go ahead and bring in another voice who can also add to this, especially when it comes to what we're putting into our bodies to make us healthy, stronger, or maybe what we're putting into our bodies that make us weak. Lucy, thanks for your call. Let's go ahead and bring in Dr. Gary Ferguson from Anchorage, Alaska, and he is the Director of Wellness and Prevention at the Alaska Native Health Tribal Consortium. And Dr. Ferguson is Unangan or Aleut. Welcome to Native America Calling, Dr. Ferguson.
Good morning.
And Dr. Ferguson, we just heard from our caller, Lucy, you know, talking about, you know, what you're putting in your body. You know, how does that play into whether we're getting sick or not, or if our immunity is up?
Well, she brings a very good point, and that is, you know, we are what we eat. And, you know, having a vital body is going to be one that is able to withstand a vigorous cold or a flu a lot more readily than, you know, if you're weakened by, you know, lack of sleep or you haven't been eating right, you haven't been staying hydrated. You know, so, you know, Dr. Smoker's brought up a lot of really great points about just taking care of yourself during the cold and flu season. And, you know, to me, I think that's the underlying principle is, you know, really develop your resistance to colds and flus. And, you know, we all have those people in our lives that don't seem to get anything. And often you start to look at traits that they have, and, you know, they often take better care of themselves. They get their sleep at night. They eat a balanced diet. They stay hydrated. They are physically active and exercising. And we've already brought up the importance of, you know, washing your hands regularly, especially if you're traveling or around public places. You know, simple prevention tips. And then, you know, from a indigenous perspective, there, you know, was brought up, there are a lot of natural remedies. And, you know, many of our tribes have wonderful healing herbs and traditional doctors, tribal healers, or holistic practitioners that can advise patients on those therapies, which can be very effective. And they're being studied more and more to look at prevention and treatment. And a lot of our drugs have come from natural sources, natural remedies from our indigenous people. So there's a lot of wisdom there. And, you know, the key is prevention is the best cure, right? So the key is to prevent a cold or flu, or ideally to be as strong as you can so that you can be healthy through it and, you know, it doesn't last that long.
All right. Thanks for that. Lucy, thank you for your call. Let's go ahead and bring in another one. We have Joel, who is in Taos, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. Joel, what would you like to share?
I don't usually make this kind of call or do this kind of thing, but I am a living testimony to it. I had a terrible toothache, and I started taking thieves oil. Yeah, as you know, dentists are hard to come by, and I was on a waiting list to get my tooth pulled. And but the thieves oil, it's also known as four thieves vinegar and a lot of other things, but you can get it now as an essential oil. Apparently, in the Middle Ages, they used to rob the corpses of plague victims with impunity because they had this oil on them. And anyway, there's a modern version you can get that seems to be a really amazing remedy. My son had a cough last week, and I added a few drops to some honey, lemon, tea that I made for him, and his cough went away. My wife has allergies, and I put some, you know, on her pulse points, on her neck, and on her feet, and it seemed to help her a lot. And I take a little bit in, I put a little wad of cotton in my tooth. I lost a filling, and so I fill it in with a little bit of thieves oil and a wad of cotton every day as I'm waiting for the dentist. And it's reversed what happened. There was like an abscess tooth. I could barely think straight. And it's been like 3 weeks now that I've been using this thieves oil, just a little drop every day, and or a few drops. And it's really an amazing cure.
All right, Joel, I want to hear from Dr. Ferguson. Have you heard about thieves oil?
I have, and thieves oil is a wonderful essential oil. There's a lot of really great essential oils that have strong antibacterial and antiviral properties, and thieves is one of those. Essential oil of oregano, citrus oils. You know, there's a lot of really wonderful essential oils that are great for treating you when you're sick, as well as helping you speed up the process. Like often we think of zinc, which has been studied to help a cold resolve more quickly, shortens the duration. These natural remedies are wonderful tools to employ when you get sick to have some natural therapy.
All right. Thanks for that, Joel. Again, you can share your remedies, too, by calling in 1-800-996-2848. Let's go ahead and take another caller from Akiak, Alaska. We have Roy tuned in on KYUK. Roy, what would you like to share?
Yeah, great program as usual. I just want to ask the doctor. Good morning. I just want to ask you, is it advisable in your experience in your field in reference to viral problems for a person that's going to a flu to take any flu vaccine? Thank you. I'll be listening. Have a good day.
Okay, Roy, thank you for your call. Dr. Ferguson, I know we heard from Dr. Smoker about that. Any thoughts to add?
So, you know, with the flu vaccine, we've definitely evolved with our ability to address the flu vaccine and to have a safe vaccine. And what I recommend is the preservative-free vaccine, which most clinics can get. And I know we have it here in our hospital campus for employees as well as for patients. And, you know, to have the vaccine and also to practice, you know, of course, we've talked about, you know, ways to prevent it in the first place as well, hygiene. But the vaccine is a great adjunct to a healthy life that, you know, prevents you from getting sick in the first place. And, you know, how a vaccine works is it basically challenges your body with a small dose of a killed virus, or if it's the nasal vaccine, it's a attenuated or, you know, weakened virus. And it gives your body an immune boost, like basically your body responds to it. And what I recommend, I'm a naturopath, so I have patients take some homeopathics like Influenzinum or Oxalococcinum, and also some antiviral tea to kind of like mitigate the side effects of the vaccine, because some of us feel a little, you know, not so good after taking the vaccine. And so that can often help with the side effects. And, you know, the key is to have an immune system that responds appropriately to a cold or a flu, because the flu for elders or those who are chronically sick or have weakened immune systems can be fatal. And for many of us, we've got elders or vulnerable children around us. And, you know, to me, I feel it's a responsible way to address the flu. And as well as there's a lot you can do natural to help with mitigating the side effects of the vaccine. So I think the vaccine's a great idea.
And Dr. Ferguson, when you say ask for one without preservatives, tell me more about that. And, you know, is that something that if we're asking for that from our doctor, they should be able to get it for us?
Yes, that's correct. And so, you know, flu vaccines, often they're a multiple dose vial. So you can, and usually there's a preservative to keep that vaccine and, you know, keep it safe so it doesn't get it doesn't expire. And so, you know, there's the multiple dose vials and there's the single dose vials that have or are often without a preservative. You can get it that way. And it's one of those where sometimes you may have to wait for the preservative free one. But I'm a fan of that because the preservative, sometimes people feel like that may be something that they react to. And there's been all kinds of controversy around Thimerosal or other kinds of preservatives used in vaccines. And so I'm kind of a fan of like, okay, the science is not out yet fully on that yet, but so let's just remove the possibility and take a preservative-free vaccine if possible.
All right. Thanks for that. Dr. Smoker, anything to add?
You know, I would agree with Dr. Ferguson. I think that's all really good advice. One of the things that happens is that oftentimes preservative-free vaccines may not be as plentiful as the other alternatives. But I do agree with the general principle of until the science is out, if we have alternatives, it's always a good idea to look for alternatives that may down the road turn out to be safer. The basic component, the killed virus or the attenuated virus that Dr. Ferguson was talking about, those are key components of preservative-free or preservative-containing vaccines, and that's really what we want to get at. So if we can get that basic part of the vaccination or vaccine to the individual without other components, that's a great idea.
And Dr. Smoker, are there any don'ts when you get the vaccine, like, you know, maybe you shouldn't consume this or that, that it makes it weaker or doesn't let it take its effect or anything like that to know when we do, you know, if people choose to get the vaccine, any don'ts?
No, I can't think of anything in particular. I just think, as Dr. Ferguson mentioned, when you get the vaccination, it's a challenge to the body's immune system. So it's important to practice really good healthy health habits up to the point of the vaccination, and then afterwards continue all those things as well. Eat well, drink lots of fluids, get lots of rest, take home remedies or other things to help you feel better from maybe some of the minor side effects that you might experience. But there's nothing specific to the flu vaccine. You just need to continue to try to live a healthy life all the time.
All right, thanks. And let's get into a few more remedies that I think a lot of us hear a lot of times when we hear somebody is under the weather with either the cold or the flu. Dr. Ferguson, what about good old vitamin C? What can you tell us about taking it in and maybe even amounts and what really works?
So that's a great point, and I'm a big fan of vitamin C. Of course, there's some great vitamin C-containing fruits like citrus. Berries are rich in vitamin C and antioxidants, and here in Alaska, we've got some really amazing berries. So vitamin C, wonderful to take. You can the emergency or other kinds of vitamin C in a packet. You can drink those. I recommend for most adults to take like 3 to 6 grams of vitamin C. Like if you feel like you're coming down with a cold. And there's also some great botanicals along with that as well that, you know, can sometimes be very helpful to minimizing the virus in your body and also shortening the duration. And we had a caller from the YK Delta, and in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta, there is a wonderful plant called stinkweed or chaitluk, and we've got names, various names for it around the state. But it's a great antiviral, antibacterial tea that people can take and often do take for, you know, colds or upper respiratory infections.
And I know a lot of people turn to echinacea too. Dr. Ferguson, when we talk about, you know, making a tea of it and doing it that way, teas can be complicated. Any thoughts on the best way to brew it, how long, or anything like that?
So most of the teas, like, for example, you know, the teas that are really good for upper respiratory infections or colds or flus that have these antiviral properties, most of them are like leaves or flowers. And so you tend not to want to boil them. You want to let them steep kind of like a, you know, very lightly, you know, 5 to 7 minutes. And there's a whole variety of teas. I'm a fan of the traditional medicinals, which you can get in most of the local stores. That have like gypsy cold care tea. There's a variety of them that, you know, they make you feel better. It's a hot beverage. You can add a little bit of lemon or honey to it. And, you know, all of those pieces come together to help you, number one, feel better so you can rest, because that's one of the most important things when you're coming down with something is to get your rest. And, you know, the more that you can feel like you can rest, the better and faster you get over the cold or the flu.
All right. Thanks, Dr. Ferguson. Let's go ahead and bring in another caller. We have Felicia in Albuquerque, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. Felicia, welcome to our hour. And what would you like to share?
Well, I just wanted to thank Dr. Ferguson for pointing out the need to get your flu shot and that being responsible. I have a child who has asthma, you know, so we all get our flu shots. And I think it'd just be unresponsible for the general public to not get their flu shots, basically.
All right, Felicia, thank you for your call. And Dr. Ferguson, what do you think? You know, just plain courtesy, maybe, you know, you'll take better care of yourself if you think your health affects others. What do you think about that?
You know, I think that's, you know, one of our values as being a good human being is to take care of each other. And, you know, just like Dr. Smoker brought up, if you're going to sneeze or cough, to cough into your sleeve rather than to your hand, to wash your hands regularly if you're sick or if you're around people who are sick. And, you know, those of us who have children or elders in our life that are more vulnerable, you know, it's a sign of respect to take care of them and by taking care of yourself. And, you know, ideally that involves proper hygiene, proper nutrition, proper rest. And then also if you need to stay away from it, you know, we've talked a little bit about, you know, going to work and maybe not infecting your coworkers. So maybe taking an extra couple of days off to not infect your coworkers. Because we see that we live in a large building here in my offices for work, and there's lots of cubicles and people. And we have this thing where it's like if you're sick, you know, if you can call in from home, call in from home, but stay home. And that's another key factor is if you're sick, you know, really try to minimize giving it to other people. So that's another, I think, respectful thing to do.
All right, Felicia, thank you for your call. And Dr. Ferguson, when we do talk about that, you know, about how much time should you stay away from folks, you know, how long are you contagious?
So with the flu, and you know, I'll have Dr. Smoker jump in on this one too, if you've got some ideas there, Brett. But you know, as far as the flu, you know, there's often a prequel to the flu, and you may be coming down with it. You have this initial, you may be a fever, you don't feel so good, all the way up to, you know, several days through the symptoms, and then as the symptoms start to subside, your contagiousness starts to subside. So, you know, for each person, it may be a little bit different as to how long it's lasting and how long you're contagious. So I don't have, like, days, you know, as far as down, but it's one of those where, you know, when you're not coughing or, you know, bringing expectorating things up and you don't have a fever anymore, the virus is starting to subside. But the key is to always border on the place of caution of giving it to other people by keeping your hands washed and, you know, covering your cough.
All right. Dr. Smoker, anything to add?
I agree with everything Dr. Ferguson said. I couldn't have said it better.
Okay, great. And one more last remedy we often hear, you know, good old shot of whiskey, or we got a Facebook post that somebody says they mix vodka in their orange juice. Any thoughts on those remedies? Dr. Smoker.
Well, I think the thing that jumps out at me is the shot of vodka. Small amounts of alcohol in moderation are certainly not going to hurt folks. But I think one of the things we need to keep in mind is that if we're drinking alcohol in excess, not only can that lead to causing us to become dehydrated, but it can also prevent our body's immune system from working optimally. So I wouldn't necessarily discourage a shot of vodka, but I certainly would not encourage anybody to go beyond a shot of vodka. I don't know that the alcohol itself is a remedy for the cold or the flu.
All right, real quick, what about caffeine, Dr. Smoker?
Well, caffeine can have a diuretic effect as well, can cause us to lose fluid. So I think it's important to not drink caffeine in excess to prevent us from becoming dehydrated as well.
All right. Well, we have reached the end of our show today, and thanks to everyone who called in. Also, thanks to our guests, Dr. Brett Smoker and Dr. Gary Ferguson. We'll be back again tomorrow, and you can continue the conversation. If there are more remedies that you want to share, post on our Facebook or send us a tweet at 1-800-99-NATIVE. Our senior producer is Monica Brain. Our associate producer is Andy Murphy. And Stephen Emmons is our engineer. Antonia Gonzalez is the anchor and producer of National Native News. And we also invite you to visit us online at NativeAmericaCalling.com. You can find out what we have planned for the remainder of the week. And tomorrow we're going to be talking about exploitation in Native America. I'm Tara Gatewood. Have a great rest of your day and stay healthy.
Native people are at high risk for serious flu complications. Pregnant women, young children, elders, and anyone with health conditions like diabetes and heart disease are especially vulnerable. Please get a yearly flu vaccine. Your flu vaccine protects me. My flu vaccine protects you. Together, let's protect the circle of life. Learn more. Call 1-800-232-4636 or visit cdc.gov/flu.
Healthy communities start with healthy families. Open enrollment for health insurance starts November 15th. Find out if you and your family qualify for free or low-cost health insurance. Contact your local Indian health program, visit healthcare.gov/tribal, or call 1-800-318-2596.
A message from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanik Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization located in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the McCune Charitable Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Music is provided by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.